Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is a wonderful Tuesday, beautiful morning here in Dallas, Texas. I mean, it is some gorgeous weather. I haven't seen this gorgeous weather in quite a while, so it's quite exciting to see the horizon and just seeing all the beauty that's forming here in Dallas, Texas. But it is Tuesday. The last Tuesday of the month. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? That is truly the last Tuesday of the month, the beginning of the year, January 26, 2016. And I just want to say thank you all for being here this morning, joining myself. And I have a special guest on the line today. Oh, my goodness. I'm truly excited. But I am your host, Yvette Harmony Jett, better known as the Spiritual Harmonizer. And as you may know, or as you may not know, I'll introduce myself. I help people become one with their soul. What I do is make sure that there's no lack, scarcity, dissonance, or discord to any part of your being, that everything that you do, everything that you are, everything that you seek to become is in harmony with itself, so that you never, ever have any type of discord in your life, and that no part of your life ever has to do harm to any other aspect of your life. And just under that umbrella, we have the Spiritual Harmony Network. It's a true network and a true calling that is stemming from an effort to help people, to help souls, become one, to help souls that may be in some discord, in some type of lack in their life. And under that is the power of seven prayer calls. So every Monday, every third Monday of the month, we do a prayer call, and we just connect with people all over the world, all over the country, seeking guidance from God. And it's not based on religion, it's not based on gender, it's not based on nationality. It's just based on the fact that people come together to pray to God, to seek guidance from Him. And also under that umbrella, we have the Harmony Disaster Relief. And what we do under that entity is we help people that have any type of disaster, help them find some relief for whatever their situation is, for whatever they're going through. And then, of course, under that umbrella, we have here the Blog Talk Radio Show. So we discuss spiritual matters and matters of the heart that really help you connect and become one with your soul. So that's who I am, your host, Yvette Harmony Jett. But I want to introduce my special guest today. And when I tell you, this brother is bad. Oh, my goodness. He's a quiet storm. If anyone that knows him personally, I mean, he's just so quiet that you would never know what all he has inside of him until you talk to him one-on-one, and not even publicly, just one-on-one. And that brother gets so deep. It's amazing. I call him Eddie Bauer, but his name is not Eddie Bauer. It's Eddie Barnes, and he is a phenomenal young man with some awesome insights spiritually that he's helped my life in so many amazing ways. And I'll just give you a history of how we met. I actually met in Georgia when we worked at an airline company together. And he was just a nice young man. I always would tell myself, you know, I hope my son grows up to be like you, because you just are genuinely a nice young man. And then he moved to Texas, took another position with another company, and come to find out, I moved to Texas and took a position with that same company, and we ended up in the same place once again. And our relationship grew from there, and we both grew spiritually aware in so many different aspects. And when I tell you, he has been, I say he's my spiritual angel, and I call him my spiritual brother. So I want to introduce to you guys, I want him to say hello, I want you guys to meet my spiritual friend, my spiritual brother. I call him a quiet storm, Mr. Eddie Barnes. Are you there?
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you, Miss Yvette, for those warm words.
You are welcome.
I'm Eddie. I'm originally from Houston, Texas, but lived in Atlanta for a while, and I'm back here in Dallas. And the Spirit has led me and Miss Yvette to meet again. And today we're going to discuss some good stuff with you all.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. And, you know, Eddie, I have to be honest with our listeners, because as it, my moniker is the spiritual harmonizer, and because I always say the best part of my life is spiritual. There's a lot of great entities to me, but my natural state of being is spiritual. It's very hard for me to be, I would say, human in the human shell, in the human layer. Naturally, I'm just spiritual, and I've always had a desire to like and be around music. And it was funny because we were having a conversation one evening, and you brought to my attention the whole musical theme. I knew it was something that I liked musically. I just couldn't narrow it down. I mean, we had a conversation about music, and you broke down music and the harmony of music. And that's where the title to my book, The Seven Keys to Spiritual Harmony, came from. It honestly, everybody, I have to be honest, it came from Eddie. That's exactly truly where it came from, because I was naming the book The Seven Principles to Spiritual Harmony, and it just didn't have the same ring. And he's like, well, what about The Seven Keys to Spiritual Harmony? Do you remember that conversation, Eddie?
I do. I remember we stayed after work for 2 hours talking about it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Do you mind sharing with our listeners, like, just a piece of that conversation, how you broke down? Because I think you're the best person to break down what I'm about, which is the harmony, and how the harmony of music relates to spirituality. Do you mind breaking that down just for a minute?
Sure. It was actually started from a discussion me and Miss Yvette had in regards to the title of her book. I tell her book could be a thesis, like a PhD thesis.
Yes.
And so we just started talking, and the spirit kind of led me, because I've been in music since I was in fifth grade until 12th grade when I graduated high school. And what she was talking about kind of related to music to me, like healing people who have dissonance in their lives. And when she says that word, it kind of triggered the music in me, because in music there's dissonance. If you have notes, two notes who are opposed to each other, you will hear dissonance, or you will feel dissonance in their vibrations. And that's all music is different vibrations. And when you have music come together as one, you have harmony. Different notes coming together as one, you have harmony. Different notes that are not together, you have dissonance. And that can be related to people's lives also. And that's kind of where that music relationship has come from, where it came from.
I like that. Oh, my goodness. I like that, because you talked about the vibration and when you have the music that comes together. And I think that's important, because a lot of times spiritually we have those relationships, are those vibrations that just don't feel right, and that no matter what you do or how you try to fix it or mend it, it just never comes together. And so tell me, musically speaking, how would a person get rid of that dissonance that they have where the notes don't come together quite right because it's not being harmonious? Can you explain that just a little bit?
Sure. If you have, for instance, in a chord, there's usually three notes or four notes that goes within that chord. However, if one note is off, you won't have any harmony anymore. You will have what's called a dissonance or discord. But to get on the same frequency, all you have to do is very simple. It's change a note. And it can be that way in life. Maybe you have to change a situation or a relationship or a circumstance to be in harmony, to be on the same chord, to be together as one.
I like that. So basically, and you know what, that makes me think about a composer, because I remember we talked about Mozart and Beethoven, and when you're, that's how you relate, that's how I relate this all, the musical piece of it, to life. Because a lot of times, I know people, even myself, I felt like sometimes my life wasn't amounting to anything, or my life purpose was totally off because one part of my life was off, or one relationship was off, and it wasn't matching up, and it wasn't measuring up to what I thought it was. So if I'm understanding this correctly, so when you have, just, and you said, and I liked what you said, you said three notes or four notes. And I relate that just to our spirit, our soul, our mind. And that's just the components of who we are. And that's mm-hmm. what's so powerful about it, because it's different components of who we are that makes us the person that we are. And so you're saying that if you change you could change the frequency or you could change the chord and it will get rid of the discord that you have.
That is correct. Just one note would change everything. And
wow.
It's the same in life. If one situation could change your life for the better. And
wow.
It's the same in music. And that's why I'm so fascinated and thrilled at how the dichotomy of music and life, you can relate them to each other, and it means the same thing, which is so awesome to me.
That is cool, because I know and listeners, you probably had the same situation where you feel like you have to change your whole life in order to get on the right track. Where really, it seems like even in music, if you pay attention and if you listen long enough, and if you study long enough, and if you study, I guess, the music sheet, and if you listen long enough, you take time to listen and just to sit still. And I've seen people that have like directed choruses or directed praise teams or directed music, and just even, you know, groups that are rehearsing together, they sit, they get really, really still, and they just listen. And it's like once they listen, they can attune themselves to find out where that discord is coming from to create the harmony that's needed. And I think that's important for life, is that if we can sit still long enough to find out what's going on internally, we could change the whole scope of our life. And I think that's mm-hmm. awesome. I really, really do. So once you find that note and you find that discord, how do you get rid of it? Do you even replace it?
You do replace it because if you're, for instance, if you're on a piano and you're playing the wrong note, you have to go to a new note to change the chord. And it's you have to be, the whole thing about this is you have to be aware.
Okay.
If you're not aware or in tune with what you're doing, you would never know. For someone who may not know, don't listen to it much or may not know some of the theory behind it, it may not sound like a discord to them. It may not sound like something is wrong here, but to the trained listener or the listener who has awareness, they will be easily able to identify that. And that's something that you have to have an awareness to identify the problem. And it's the same way in life. You have to be aware, because a lot of times we could be just living our lives, going to work, taking care of our children, not really in tune or aware of what's going on within our lives or with our family members or with our relationships that could possibly change our lives for the better. We just have to be aware of it.
Wow. I like that. You know what? I think something you said right there was powerful. You said the theory behind it. And I know music, and I mean, music gets so deep and intense. That I know there's a subject, I think, that people, the musicians, they take music theory and mm-hmm. they find out why the music is and how it came about and what it means and where it all came from. Are you familiar with any type of music theory?
I'm not as deep as someone who has studied music, but The principles of music are very simple, and they're very similar to life.
Okay.
You have to
break it down.
Practice.
Break it down.
You have to practice.
Okay.
You have to learn, because there's people around you. You're not going to know everything, so you have to learn, experience, change ideas, which we do in life. And in an orchestra or in a chorus or in a symphony, you have to work together as one. To be great,
I like
to experience greatness. And if you notice something in the word theory, you have T-H-E-O, and you also have that same thing in theology. And that brings it full circle to me, because they're all of the same. Because people study their Bible to get the theology of the Bible or how to live life, and people study music theory to learn the basic principles and all the knowledge of music. So they're all of the same to me, and that's so interesting how similar they are.
I like that. You know, and that is deep, because when you look at spirituality, and when you look at your life as a whole, a cosmic complex entity of just a spiritual being, and just like basically a journey through the times, through the cosmos. And I think a lot of times we think that all it takes is to study the theory of God, the theory of being spiritual, and that's it. And that's all that has to be done, no more, no less. But I like what you said. One of the principles of theory is practice. And that's what I think has to be honed in on. One of the principles is practice, because I'm a firm believer, because I've heard it said so many times. Years ago, I found it to be a truly, truly wrong statement. I've heard it said for years, practice makes perfect. And I totally disagree with that statement 110%. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes you better. Because you could be practicing something the wrong way, and it will never make you perfect at what you're trying to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
You don't want to do. So if you keep practicing something the wrong way, it just makes you better. It doesn't make it perfect. It just makes you better for what it is you're trying to do. Because I think that's the misconception of the religious community, the spiritual community, just people in general. They think, well, because I've been practicing with God a long time, you know, as in I've been walking with him, I've been going to church, I've been reading my Bible, I've been living the life, you know, living the life that God will want me to live, and it's still not getting any better. It's still not changing. And I like what you said, because one of the principles is practice. And oh my goodness, hey, this is the funny thing. I mean, if we talked about football before too. As you know, I love sports. And so really, literally, I'm a Cowboys fan, live or die, live or die. So, you know, no one hold it against me. I love Cowboys no matter what. As of Sunday, literally as of Sunday, 2 days ago, I became a Cam Newton fan. I became his number one fan, literally. And it happened in a matter of like 2 minutes. I am a Panthers fan because of Cam Newton. And what I liked about him was because he sat there on the TV, and I didn't even realize he was a quarterback before. That's how new a fan I am. So I didn't even realize he was a quarterback for the Panthers. I just saw him do one play, you know, in the game where he was like, he ran the ball. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you see that game on Sunday?
I did.
And it was like the end of, I think it was the fourth quarter. And he ran that ball, I want to say, for like 20 yards. So I'm thinking like he's a running back or something, or like on the defensive line. Because he's tall and huge. And so I didn't know the man was a quarterback, you know. I didn't know he was a playmaker for the team. I didn't get that, you know. And then I saw him. I'm like, why are they interviewing him so long? He just did one play. Well, because he's a quarterback, duh. And so when he was speaking, oh, Eddie, it was so profound, because he stood there and spoke so eloquently about what he does, which is the finished product of the game. But one thing he said in one of his interviews was that he is who he is because he works hard at it. And I thought that that blew my mind. You know what I mean? That blew my mind, because it brings it all together. It brings everything together, that even the best artist, even the best athlete has to practice. You know, you don't, I mean, just, I'm like, how do you have to practice so hard at something that may be so natural? You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think that practicing, especially with something that that comes natural to you, it just makes you that much better, or inspires someone else to do better. And I think even though for professionals or people who are, I guess, at the you would find that most people still practice, because that keeps you current. That may make you innovative and finding something different or something new with your craft. So I think that whole practicing thing is very important, not only in your craft, but in your connection with God. It's practice. No one wakes up one morning just knowing how to figure everything out or how to put all the pieces together. It takes practice.
Wow, I like that. So for you, Eddie, have you acquired any spiritual practices that may correlate to the music that you know, or just to your spiritual walk with God? Have you acquired any practices that you found that have transformed your life or transformed who you are or what you're doing or what you're thinking?
That I do myself is that I listen to classical music.
Okay.
And I do that because to me that's where I find, and this is just me, where God kind of speaks to me, or if there's something on my mind that I don't know how to figure it out, I listen to classical music because, one, it calms me down. It allows me to get in a state where I can think and connect with God. And that's one of my spiritual practices that I use. Even whenever I have to do something that requires me to think critically, such as maybe doing homework in college or something like that, I would always listen to classical music because it allows me to open my mind, open myself to whatever I'm trying to do. And spiritually, it allows me to it seems as though God communicates through me through the classical music, listening to all these people come together as one to make beautiful music.
I like that. That is so powerful. And, you know, that correlates with one of the principles that you talk about, working together as one. And that seems like a major theme to spiritual development, is working together as one. And I believe that's how you get rid of one of the ways you get rid of the discord and the dissonance is by working together. And it's funny because I had an example one time. I was talking to someone, and I was telling them what I think for a group of people that was trying to work together, that if you could bring the natural and the spiritual together, that you would get a much better result. And this person told me, no, I keep them separate. Like, there's no reason for me to combine the two of them. I need to keep them separate. And only because of the situation and circumstances, I was like, Yvette, it's not the time. You know, you pick your battles. But I was awestruck by this, what I felt was a lack of knowledge statement. I'm like, you have to be kidding me. Like that's truly how you feel. Because when that's how the discord develops. And I, and maybe it's the same thing for music, is that when you have one section that doesn't work with another section, then you have that divide. Is that what I'm seeing? Is that there's a divide? Ooh,
exactly.
I guess that's the same thing as a divide spiritually.
Exactly. And it's the same thing. That's why the correlation between spirituality and music to me is just kind of deepened my spirituality. Same, and I practiced something that I did for, I don't know, maybe 6 years or 7 years, and related to spirituality, and it has almost just opened my mind on spirituality, comparing music to that. Because if you have, you know, say a trumpet section who are not playing together with your clarinets or your tubas or your saxophones, they're not on the same chord. There's discord. But when they are playing together, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful sound. It's something that someone can experience. And the good vibrations that the instruments are giving off, the people feel that. That's why music is so expressive, because you can feel the good vibrations. If you were sitting next to a pipe organ playing some very dark Halloweenish chords, you could feel that bad vibration. So I heard someone say that, I think it was the singer Erica Badu said that people tend to attract the people that they have on, that they are the frequency that they are giving out. So if you're giving out a bad or negative frequency, that's the same frequency you would get back. But if you're putting out a positive, you know, frequency, you would get a positive frequency back. And it's so interesting to me how that all correlates to each other.
Wow. And I think you just solved, like, one of my major life problems. Like, I'm so serious. I think you just solved, like, one of my major life problems because one of my friends, I call her my spiritual sister, my soul sister, and we were discussing just my own personal life. And honestly, there's one entity of my life that seems to have the same, I call the same stupid discord, just because I cannot find a better or deeper terminology for it. To me, it's just like the stupidest thing ever. And I try to find the life lesson in it. But when I look at what I call the nook or the cranny of it all and where it came from, it came from my vibration. It came from the vibration that I was in at the time. And actually, at that time, and in every instance, it was a very low vibration. And I was wondering, how did I interact and engage and attract this same situation in a different shell more than one time? I'm like, Yvette, you have to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. You're the spiritual harmonizer. You keep attracting the same discord, playing the same note every single time. And I was baffled by it. But like you said, I guess it's the frequency. So how do you, in music, how do you change the frequency? How do you change the vibration?
Each note has its own specific frequency. When you see an instrument, being tuned, a tuner is putting out a specific frequency, which let's say the note A, it will naturally in the Earth's atmosphere and all that stuff, the note A gives out its own frequency. And a lot of times with the band or symphony, before the maestro, the conductor comes out to conduct the piece that they're playing, the first violinist would play a note. The orchestra tunes, everyone tunes, hundreds of people tunes off this one note.
Wow.
And it's the same thing with the piano. If you have a tuner and you want to tune, you know, the note A, you tune them, you put them together, and they become one. And that's how it's done in relation to music. And it's the same way in life also.
I like that. So it seems like in music that in order to get the note that you want, it's as simple as a choice. You basically make the choice to get the note you want. Am I understanding that?
That is correct, yes.
I like that. And it's funny because when I look at that from a spiritual aspect, we can choose what type of life, what type of environment, what type of people, what type of relationships, what type of note that we want. And when I look at the tuner, like who is our tuner? What is a tuner? I look at it as the God in us, the God in our life would be the tuner. And we can actually, and this is what I found in my life, and because I look at God in a different way than I used to. I used to look at him as some far-off man in the sky that just rained down bad things and wanted to send me to hell. And if I did something wrong, he was like, had a big book, and it was like every strike against me. And like there was nothing that was going to come good about it, and I was going to skate through on like pins and needles just to get into the utopia of heaven. And it's honestly, it's eye-opening and it's awakening and it's very relieving when I look at God from a different perspective. And I will relate him as being my tuner, being my creator, because what I'm seeing is that the tuner doesn't do it without the person that has the instrument. He uses a person that has the instrument, and the two aren't separate, but they have to be together. And so once, Eddie, I think this is it. I think this is it. So once the person that has the instrument knows exactly what they want, how they want it to sound, what they want it to be, what note they're on, then the tuner comes along to make sure it matches and aligns perfectly. Am I Is that what we
so make sure that they're on the same frequency.
Wow. Now, see, I think that is awesome. And honestly, that's the way I look at God. That is the true way I look at God in my life, because we co-create together, that there's never a separation, that he doesn't do something without me, and I don't do anything without him, but we do it together. And what I've learned from my own life, and share with me your experience of where when you saw something and you wanted something and you were definite about it, where you saw the tuner align your life to match that. Have you ever had that experience?
I have, and I was in college. Growing up, I always wanted to be an airline pilot. That was sort of my dream goal. Maybe it's still a goal now. I don't know yet. God will reveal it to me if it is. But
there
was a point in college where the training to become a pilot is very expensive, very, very, very expensive. And anyone who knows what I'm talking about can understand that.
Yes.
And there was a point in my sophomore year in college where I couldn't fly anymore. I could no longer afford it. And I was kind of lost as to what to do with my life, where to go forward. I was out of the frequency that I was given off was probably not the frequency that God had for me. And so I went through this period where I was kind of down. I wouldn't say depressed about the whole situation and not being able to do what I thought that God wanted me to do. And so I continued to pray about it. I asked God for guidance and to show me the way. And one morning, I woke up. I went to speak with my advisor, whom I'm still friends with today. He kind of helps me and tutors me. And he told me, all of this is happening for a reason. And he gave me a CD from Joel Osteen.
Okay.
The sermon escaped me at this point. But it's something to the effect of listening to God and follow his plan, not your own. And so I listened. I remember driving back home to Atlanta. The school is about 2 hours away from my home in Atlanta. And I listened to the sermon all the way home. And Joel Osteen himself actually said that sometimes we are out of frequency and we need to tune in to the right frequency. And so that just struck with me because I felt, okay, well, why do I feel this discord? This is the intuition. This is just not sitting right. Maybe I'm out of frequency. Maybe God doesn't want me to do this at this time. And so I spent the weekend in Atlanta. I went back home to Atlanta, worked, and came back to school. And I spoke with my advisor, and he asked, what do you think? I said, I thought the message that you gave me was great because I think I was out of frequency. God wanted me on this frequency, and I thought, and I vehemently told God I wanted to be on this frequency, but God had a way of showing me, no, you're going to do what I want. And from there, I changed my major. I kind of had a different course on what I thought I originally was going to do in college, and here I am now, 3 years, 4 years later, doing what God wants me to do. I'm on his plan. I'm just kind of walking. I'm walking with it.
Wow. Well, I like that. So you're just walking with it. So how does it feel when you're just walking with it, when you're just going with his plan? Just, I call it just going with the flow, that there's no time where you're going against it. Because I've heard it said that what you resist persists. And I compare it to like a stream or a river. When a stream or a river is flowing, it's just flowing. It's beautiful. And it doesn't always know the course. It just knows it has to flow. So how does it feel when you're just going with the flow, when you're just walking with the power that God's given you? How does that journey feel?
Well, to me it feels good because when I didn't know what plan God has for me. And to be honest, I think a lot of us don't know what God has planned for us. We just kind of go in the flow. But before, I was trying to make my own plan, and it was very stressful. It was frustrating because I wanted to do at the time that I wanted to do it. And so I was always frustrated, and I was kind of mad at the world because I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. You know, what's going on here? Why can't I have everything I need, all the resources that I needed to get there? But kind of just sitting back and going with the flow of what God has for me, it's not, there is no stress. You just kind of go with it, and whatever comes your way, you just have to go with it. Because God will lead your path. And a lot of people walk through life stressing about stuff that they can't control. And a lot of times we do that because we want things done the way that we want to do it. But we should just follow God's plan. And there is no worrying in God's plan. Everything will work out.
I like that. So would you say overall that you basically live a stress-free life, a worry-free life, just by releasing your own bondages and your own prisons that you put yourself in?
I wouldn't say that I live an 100% stress-free life, because as a human, we're all going to kind of revert back to our own ways and kind of stress about certain situations that may arise. But overall, I would say that my stress levels are down significantly than they were, you know, when I was trying to figure it out instead of just following God's plan.
I like that. You know, I like that because in life today, there's so many people that have illnesses, sicknesses, diseases, mental frustrations, mental turmoils, relationship battles and struggles. And it seems like the life of the flow helps you to heal. And that's one of the things I talk about in my book is in harmony, the first key to harmony is healing, and healing from the inside. And I like that, Eddie, because I think that's a nugget right there, is to have spiritual power and to have the healing power that we need is about the release and the let go and just living in the flow.
Living in the flow. I love that. It kind of rhymes together.
I like that, living in the flow. And I don't even try to be a rapper. I like that. I like the living in the flow. And because what it is like the spiritual power comes from God, and he gives it back to you. And it's like an exchange. To me, it seems like the healing is an exchange. And when I was writing down some of the things that you said, basically in a nutshell, that when you go with the flow, when you walk according to God's plan, it relieves stress, it relieves anger, and it brings about resources. Those are the three nuggets I took away from that small segment right there, is that walking in the flow of God, walking in his plan, and not necessarily knowing what the next step may be, but just being comfortable in the fact that the next step will be okay, the next step is already taken care of, that there's no worry, there's no lack, there's no limitation, that there's not going to be a discord, that everything is for you, that nothing is against you, that you start to live stressless, relieve the anger, and you have the resources. So tell me about the resources that have come by just living this type of lifestyle. I know there's some miracle resources that you've had just by living this lifestyle.
I'm going to use this example here because everyone that knows me, I'm an aviation geek. I love planes. Mm-hmm. And I'll use this illusion to tell the story. You have a jet stream, and a lot of times people who fly, they're like, what is a jet stream? What is that? And a jet stream is a strong flow of air. It's basically a river of wind that's going maybe 50, 100 miles an hour. And if you think of a plane, a lot of the times you may hear your captain say, well, we just hit the jet stream. And people are like, what are you talking about? And a lot of times before you hit the jet stream or while you're in the jet stream, it may be a little turbulent. But the good thing about the jet stream is that it's because it's a strong or fast flowing moving air, you get to your destination sooner and more efficient than you would have without it. So I think some of the resources that God has provided me is certain people in my life, such as you, Miss Yvette, that kind of that spiritually keeps me humble, knowing that the destination, because of the jet stream, I'm going to get to my destination sooner than I thought. And so those are some of the resources that, you know, that I use and that I see to get to my destination.
Wow, I like that, Eddie. And you know, as long as I've been around aviation, I never understood the jet stream. And of course, you know, I love that because, you know, my last name is Jet. So I think that is hot. That's going to have to be a book. We're going to have to sit down and hash out this, a book for that called The Jet Stream of Life. Like, I'm totally digging that, The Jet Stream of Life. So listeners, know you cannot take that that title to the book. That will be me and Eddie writing a book called The Jet Stream of Life. And I like that because you said it propels you to your destination a lot sooner, because when you're living in the jet stream, and so you may have a little turbulence along the way, but once you get in that jet stream, I mean, that's just totally and amazingly authentic. That right there, when you look at being aligned, being in harmony, being in the right place at the right time for the right reason. And, you know, I heard Deepak Chopra say it, and, you know, I just, he's like the spiritual guru in my life. I mean, he is like the spiritual of the spiritualist. Now, I love listening to him. And he talked about, he broke down coincidences. And everybody's like, oh, that was just a coincidence that happened. Where he said that everything in a coincidence is that when everything in the universe aligns perfectly at the right time to conspire to give you what you need. And I was like, oh, man. I mean, and that's what I like, is that the universe comes together, and I use universe in the term of it being God, it being the all in all, the authority, the king of everything, just brings everything together at the right time for the right reasons, because you're in the jet stream and it propels you there a lot faster, where when you're walking in the will and the divinity of God, you know that you're going to get there, and you know that you're going to get there sooner. And so, so when you get there, Eddie, tell me, what is that experience like, knowing that, I mean, because, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. They say, you know, you can look back and you can look behind and you can see what was. But it seems like when you're living in the jet stream, it's kind of like you see it in the fast forward moment before you see it in the backwards moment. Does that make sense?
It's like, exactly. It's like a jet stream is almost
back
like
to the future.
Yes. It's almost, it's like a vision, because you can see yourself getting there sooner because of the jet stream. And some people may say, why turbulence in the jet stream? Well, turbulence are a byproduct of wind moving fast. So when wind is moving fast, the advantage is that you're going to get to your destination sooner. One of the disadvantages, or one of the, I guess, testimonies that you can say, is that you're going to have turbulence because it's a byproduct of wind.
Wow.
And while we may have certain situations that may arise or come up in our life, it's just a byproduct of us fastly moving to our destination.
Wow.
If we didn't have the jet stream, it would take us a lot longer to get to where we're trying to go.
I like that. You know what? I mean, I like the way you put that, the byproduct, because it doesn't always mean that that's, cause I think sometimes that we get the byproduct mixed up with the final destination, where we're in the byproduct of life, the situation, the circumstances, the guts of life. And it seems like that's where we're going to get stuck. And that's where a lot of times I know I've gotten stuck, in the byproduct, not realizing that it was basically just the jet stream shaking it off, you know, because it was going so fast. And it had to move that fast to get the byproduct away from me so that I don't carry that to the final destination. And I think you're solving my life. This is what happens all the time. Every time we talk, it's like, this time it's recorded, though. I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful. So I've always said we should record our conversations. But I like that, Eddie. I like, so what do you, so in the jet stream, what happens with the byproducts? The byproduct of the term, what happens in that middle piece?
The byproduct, it doesn't always happen. It only happens when the wind is at a perfect angle to the aircraft or to the person's life.
Wow.
But eventually, you feel the byproduct, or if you're in an airplane, you feel the turbulence. But after a while, you're still in the jet stream, but you have experienced smooth air. And so the byproduct doesn't last long. Because eventually you're going to hit smooth air.
Wow. I like that, Eddie. Oh, my goodness. It does not last long. Oh, my. And oh, my goodness. If anyone is listening, I think that is the mantra for today. It does not last long. And I know for myself, Eddie. I mean, you know me. You know my life story. And it's there's been times and occasions in my own life where I'm like, oh my goodness, when will this end? You get tired, you know, you get weary, and you get somewhat discouraged because the byproduct seems to last longer and takes longer than need be. Sometimes you seem like you're there in the byproduct, and because it has the turbulence, because it has that discomfort. And I know just from being a flight attendant, just from my angle of it, is when we hit that turbulence, it's nothing like some horrible, horrible turbulence. I mean, that plane, no matter how large it is. I remember one time, I think I was flying like on a 777 or something, one of the big planes. It was a big, massive Delta plane, Eddie. I don't know where I was coming from. But that thing hit a pocket of turbulence, and it dropped that huge plane so far down. I just knew I was meeting Jesus that night. I knew for a fact, I said, I'm meeting Jesus and God tonight. It is done. It is finished. All is well. But then it's funny because they got it back in control.
Here's the thing. Whenever a plane hits any turbulence and the turbulence continues to last, a pilot is trained to slow the airplane down.
Whoa.
And the
slowing of
the aircraft ensures that the aircraft is not damaged or the people in there are not hurt.
Wow.
So in life, God could could be experiencing turbulence in life, and God slows us down to get the lesson, so we're not damaged or we're not hurt. And that's the same thing that happens with a pilot. They slow the aircraft down. It's called air turbulent penetration speed.
Really?
That's the exact same.
What's it called? You said the what?
The air turbulent penetration speed.
Okay.
So you're penetrating turbulent air. And if it's too turbulent, aircraft is not damaged or the people in it is not damaged, you slow the aircraft down.
Wow.
And it lessens the effect of the turbulence. And that can be translated into life. Sometimes life may be too turbulent and God has slowed things down for us to get the lesson or to get whatever he's trying to show us so that we can speed back up and move forward.
Dang, that is awesome, Eddie. I like that because you know what? I see that correlated in so many aspects of life, you know? And I would equate it to like your recovery, you know, to your recovery speed.
Yes, sure.
And when I think about football and you look at the quarterback, when things get a little bit too rough and they're kind of like sitting there in that pocket and they see the defense come in full force, they kind of step back. They kind of step back and reevaluate before they step forward to release that ball. And that, I think, oh my God, I just had a revelation. I feel like that's what God does to our lives so many times, and we don't even realize it. I know for me, there's been times in my life where life is going so fast, and I'm like, oh my goodness, when will it end? And it's funny, so I just spoke with my spiritual life coach about, I think, the same thing maybe about a week or so ago, where you have to readjust and you have to refocus inside the journey, you know, inside the pocket, inside the plane. Pilots do not get out the plane to have the air turbulent penetration effect. They don't get out the plane to do it. They stay right there in the thick of things and readjust. And
exactly.
I think that is so powerful. And I think that's where a lot of people, religious people and spiritual people, miss the lesson, is to stay right in that pocket, to stay right in that flight deck, whatever part of life you're in the flight deck. For those that know, that's where the pilots are housed. That's where they, you know, control the plane. That's where all the controls are. That's where all, and the controls are always right there. I mean, anything in life, the controls are right at your fingertips, you know? And so you stay where the controls are, which is God. You stay right where he is, right in that pocket, stay right where you can hear his place and hear his calls, and be right on the pulse of everything. You feel the pulse of it all, but you don't move. But he slows it all down. I like that, Eddie. That is some meat right there. I'm serious. That is some true meat. I like that. And I never knew they had that. What technique? I never ever knew that, because they don't want to cause any further damage. And I think that's awesome. I really do. I really think that's awesome. So when they do that, is it really felt by the people on the inside? How do you recover from that when, you know, you've had to slow things down, but you know they're about to speed back up? And you know that life may be taking a different turn, but you know that the jet stream is going to get you to your destination. How do you stay still in all that, and all that turbulence or that movement that's going on? How do you stay still and stay focused?
In my personal opinion, I think it's when you listen to God, because he'll be talking to you, or he'll be revealing to you certain things in life, just like in the cockpit. Pilot is always talking to the air traffic controller. And we should be always talking to God. And I just find metaphors in life, and aviation just happened to be my thing, so I just happen to know that. But a pilot who's flying a big airliner jet, they're in constant contact with an air traffic controller. They can fly without it, but it would almost be like a rudderless boat.
Wow.
If they did not.
Okay.
And I use that same metaphor in life, in that we have to keep constant contact with God, whether that is prayer or meditation or, you know, silent reading or listen to classical music in my case. There always has to be that constant communication between you and God. So you know where you're going. You know where your destination is. You know what you should be doing or what you should not be doing.
I like that. You know, and that right there is really powerful to me as well, because I heard it said, and I mean, and everyone has their own opinion. I just have my own strong opinions. And so I heard someone say, you know, when you schedule time with, have you ever realized that when you schedule time with God, something always comes in the way? And I got I got really confused by that statement again. I said, why on earth would you ever schedule time with God? That baffled me. That whole concept of scheduling time with God means that you're not always with God, that he's just like an appointment that you have to make. I'm like, but if God is always there, if God is always present, why on earth would you even schedule any type of time with him? I'm going to schedule him in the morning before I go to work. Or I'm going to schedule him right before I eat my food. Or I'm going to schedule him, you know, 15 minutes over here. I'm going to schedule him right before I go to sleep. Why limit God? Why put him in that type of box where we have to schedule and he's not a doctor's appointment. You know, like, like you're cutting off like the whole necessity, the whole understanding, the whole connection of God. You can't do that. You can't cut God off. And the more I lose my religion and the more spiritual I become, and it's an ever-growing process, ongoing, ever-growing, continuous process, I learned that I spend more time with God. When I was just completely engrossed in the tradition and the traits of being religious, I scheduled time with God. There were times where we were disconnected, where, oh, let me go over here so I could pray, or let me go over here so I could read my Bible, or let me go sit here so I could focus on God. What I'm learning now is that God is always the focus. And when I don't schedule time with him and I just live with him, create with him, be with him, him live with me and live next to me, and we're just in this thing, in the thick of it together, it just has an even flow, and I always get the direction that I need, you know. And I like that you said that, because that's so essential, that we continuously connect with God on that level, on that soulier level, that's deeper, that has the controls, you know.
What I tend to do is, a lot of people think that we should, like, you just have to get on your knees and pray every night for you to communicate with God. And to be honest, me and God are always having a conversation. When I'm walking into work, or when I'm in the store, me and God are having a mental conversation. I don't even have to say anything because he knows what's on my mind and what's on my heart. We have a constant conversation with each other, and everyone, you know, says you have to pray and you have to do this and you have to do that. I think that's true, but you can talk with God. He's with you all the time. You can have a mental conversation. You can have a silent conversation with your eyes closed at your desk at work, and you can be talking with God. So I think God is always around. We just have to be willing to listen.
I like that. Man, Eddie, that is something powerful, because I don't think half the world understands the power and the potency of God in every reflection of every moment, and that he is not limited to a place or a person or a thing. And I think that's awesome. And you know what? And honestly, Eddie, I hate it, but I love it. So we are coming down, and I promise you guys, we are coming down to like the last 3 minutes of the show. I mean, we're on the final countdown. And me and Eddie, I feel like you're sitting at the table with me and we're just drinking coffee. That's why I find it so phenomenal to speak with you. I mean, it's been awesome. And I just want to thank you for sharing all the nuggets, all the lessons, and just the godly spiritual wisdom with myself and with the rest of the world, because it's phenomenal to have spiritual people of like-mindedness come together, because I think that's when you get your true source and true calling. But before we go with the last 2 minutes, Eddie, did you want to leave anything with our listeners, or is there any way people can keep in contact with you or anything?
Sure. If you want to get in contact with me, you can contact me via Facebook. I'm Eddie Barnes. Or you can send me an email at barnese1990@gmail.com. You can email me there or contact me via Facebook.
I like that. Yes, I mean, everyone, I say reach out to this brother, show him some love, let him know how much we appreciate him being on the show today. And Eddie, I'm telling you, you have to come back. We have to have more conversations like this. And I have to admit, it's kind of selfish of me because I've always wanted these conversations recorded, and I've always just wanted to be able to sit back and listen to them and just marinate on them a little bit more, because you always give me that positive insight. So, Eddie, I would just want to say I thank you and I love you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm so glad you joined me. This has been truly amazing and awesome just spending this time with you. And make sure you got to come back, so we've got to schedule more time. But I just want to say, listeners, thank you for being a part of the Soul Convo with Eddie B today on this wonderful Tuesday morning. I am your host, Yvette Harmony Jett. like I tell you, always become one with your soul and know that there's no lack, limitation, or scarcity in anything. Keep God first in all things, because it's in Him where you find your source and your power. But this is Yvette Harmony Jett. Until next week, always become one with your soul. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a blessed, safe, and prosperous week.